This week, the U.S. Supreme Court declined to hear an appeal of a $2 billion verdict in favor of women who claimed that they had developed ovarian cancer from using Johnson & Johnson's baby products, baby powder. And with us to discuss this case and the trial and what this means for women who may have been impacted by the powder is Rachel Lanier. She is with the Houston law firm of Lanier Law Firm. Welcome to the show, Rachel. Thank you for taking my getting on. I know you just jumped off a plane and you're joining us here. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure.
Let's talk a little bit about this case. So you're a young lawyer, and I know you tried this case with a group of lawyers. Where was the case tried? Was it in Missouri?
Yes, it was in St. Louis, Missouri.
Okay. And who are the plaintiffs in the case?
So the plaintiffs at the time were 22 women and their families, because some of them had passed away by the time of trial. A diverse group of women of varying ages who had all used asbestos-laced Johnson & Johnson baby powder and got ovarian cancer. So 11 have actually passed away since that time, but their families have been able to carry on the torch for them.
So when you say asbestos laced, I mean, who would possibly know and who would possibly think that baby powder and talc products have asbestos? Can you explain just simply why it is that asbestos is in these products?
Absolutely. It's such a good question, and it's something that I think the regular person, even us, we were flabbergasted and shocked and horrified to find out once we had done the digging and found the evidence. So quite simply, talcum powder is basically dirt. I mean, it's mined from the earth. It is a mineral. And when we were doing research to try and figure out why so many women were getting ovarian cancer and had also been using talcum powder, we actually found that talcum, and this is known in geology, in the geology world as well, but talcum powder mines that are mined from the earth are actually intertwined with asbestos. So there's asbestos that happens in the mines at the same time. And an analogy that sort of helps with this is if you could picture like a slab of raw steak. You got the meat of the steak, but then you also have fat that's kind of interwoven throughout the meat of the steak. And it turns out that the evidence shows that talcum powder mines are the same exact way. They're mostly made up of talc, but then you have this asbestos that's kind of interwoven, similar to that fat, all throughout the mines. So it's basically impossible to extract talcum powder and not have the asbestos in there.
Did Johnson & Johnson know that asbestos was part of it? Or I guess I should ask, how could they not know?
Yeah, I mean, we were, and the jury, of course, too, and our clients, we were incredibly disappointed to find memo after memo after memo that go back even to the 50s, showing that Johnson & Johnson was well aware that there was asbestos in their baby powder. They, throughout the 60s, 70s, had a lot of internal memos that showed them worrying and panicking a little bit about the money that they might lose if people found out and the legal things that may happen to them if people find out. And this is, I think, one of the most massive cover-ups I've ever seen that a company has done that has really hurt thousands of people.
And on, you know, and it's for babies. A lot of these powders are for babies who I would imagine have immune systems that are not as developed as an adult. And you would think that they would be more careful and not less careful.
Absolutely. I mean, it's horrifying, truly. Even one of the memos that we found that we showed the jury from the 70s was showing Johnson & Johnson doing internal calculations, calculating the amount of fibers that an infant may be breathing in and exposing themselves to when they're using these products. And a lot of our women had used these products on themselves and their parents had used it on them. And the saddest part of this, too, was the guilt that our women felt that many of them had used this on their own babies, because that's the whole J&J PR machine is that we all trusted them. This was a baby powder company, and it's just sad to see that money was sort of put over safety in this instance.
Well, and the jury agreed with you. And now what happens? Are there more, are there additional women who have claims that are going to pursue their claims?
So there are up to, I think, about 9,000 to 10,000 cases of women who have got ovarian cancer who have filed against J&J. But this case is sort of unique to itself. So it's one of those things where those cases, there are several thousands of cases that have been filed against J&J that are separate and apart from this. And then there are also mesothelioma cases that have been filed against them, which is an asbestos cancer of the lungs that has affected both men and women who used talcum powder.
And has talcum powder, the J&J talcum powder, been taken off the shelves, or is it still available for sale?
So the interesting thing is, after our verdict, Johnson & Johnson eventually, and after the FDA also did some independent tests and found asbestos in the Johnson & Johnson baby powder, Johnson & Johnson pulled talcum powder off the market. They didn't actually go around pulling anything from the shelves. They just stopped selling it. So, I mean, you could technically still buy it, I think. But they did that here in the U.S., but they are still selling it abroad in other countries that don't have, I guess, you know, as strong of tort reform or tort type laws that allow people to sue for things like this as well as America does. So, well, our hope is that eventually everybody will stop using it and that Johnson & Johnson won't be selling it anywhere. But as of now, they've just pulled it from the U.S. and Canada.
And, you know, plaintiff's lawyers sometimes get a bad name when you get these big verdicts and everyone gets kind of uncomfortable with all of these kinds of cases. But this is the way that you stop companies from doing bad things. And there's a history of all kinds of class actions when it comes to car safety and medicine and all kinds of things that actually change the world for the better because the companies decide it's just not worth it financially to do it anymore. And I think that this is a great verdict for women and for people in this country, because I think it's the jury spoke loud and clear that what was done was wrong here.
I think that's so well said. It is, lawyers tend to get a bad rap, but in some ways we kind of are the last line of defense for people. I mean, lawyers are the reason there are seatbelts in cars. Lawyers are the reason now everybody knows asbestos causes cancer. Companies for decades kept selling asbestos products, saying that they were perfectly fine, and it took lawsuits to prove otherwise. And, you know, same with tobacco industry. I mean, it's just one of those things where there are so many good companies out there that really do care about the people who use their products, and you hope every company is like that. But sadly, that's just not the case when people put money and profits over safety and consumers.
Rachel Lanier with the law firm of Lanier Law Firm in Houston. Thank you so much for joining us. And I think it's an important message. And have a good rest of your afternoon.